The reading is from the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, and the first five verses on page 1197. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, please keep that passage open in front of you, 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1197, and let's pray for the Lord's help. Our Father, we pray, please, now that you would help us to be humble as we come before you, as a church family, as we are ready to listen to you and what you are saying to us in this passage. Please help us to be humble and help us to be ready and eager to obey you. Amen. Well, as we said last week and this week, sort of two sermons in a sort of mini series, because today is our forward focus, as we said, our annual church meeting. And normally at the end of the forward focus, you get an address from me. And I thought, well, this time, rather than do a longer address at the end, I would spread it over two sermons so that we can be thinking about what should we be and what should we be doing as a church in the context that we are in? And last week we thought about what that context is, and we said, well, in this country, it's not the most encouraging of contexts. You don't see enormous church growth in this country. We did say last week, you do around the world. Globally, the church is growing. And someone did say, could I just say a little bit more about that? And actually, on that, the church is growing globally in a massive way. In the 20th century, the church exploded. Not in Europe. In Europe, it declined massively. But in the rest of the world, or in Asia, in Africa, in South America, the church exploded, far making up for what the decline in Europe. So the church is growing, and it continues to grow massively. In Africa... In the last 15 years alone, the church has grown by 51%, which works out at around 33,000 new people in the church every day, which is massive growth. That means in the church in Africa, the church in Africa is growing by the number of people who attend Church of England churches every month. Every month, the church in Africa grows by the total number of people who attend Church of England churches. Do you understand that statistic? Anyway, it's growing massively. You got it? It's growing enormously. So God is building his church. As we saw last week, we were saying the Lord is the builder. He is building his church around the world. Now, okay, this country, at this time, in this place, the church is struggling. So what do we do? What are we to do? And we said last week, we've got a truth to hold on to and a command to obey. And the truth that we're to hold on to is this, The Lord is the builder. And we thought about that last week. Please have a listen to the sermon from last week if you weren't here. But we're trusting in the Lord to say, Lord, you are the one who builds your church. Ultimately, it is not our responsibility to bring growth. That is the Lord's job. He does that. And so we trust the Lord. We look to the Lord to build his church. We pray to him. We cry out to him. And we look to him to work. So do have a listen to that sermon from last week. And this week we're thinking about the command that we're to obey, which is this: preach the word. It's in the passage which Hesse read for us. We are to preach the word. Now that's probably not unfamiliar to most of us, but it's so easy for a church to drift away from it. And we're going to think about this in terms of four things. We're going to think about who, we're going to think about what, we're going to think about when, and we're going to think about how. Okay, you didn't have to remember that. I'll take you through it. But before we get into each one of those, let me just give you a little bit of the context of 2 Timothy. See, 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to Timothy. And Timothy was a church leader of a church in Ephesus. And it was a church going through a really difficult time. There was suffering. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you've got to be prepared to suffer. Probably that suffering was coming from outside the church. They were being persecuted at the time. But Paul is saying you've got to be prepared to suffer. That's what they were going through. But not just outside the church, there were difficulties inside the church. There were arguments. There was gossip. There were difficulties of false teachers that Timothy was having to put up with and deal with, who were causing all kinds of problems. And therefore, you can imagine in that, a church like that, Timothy, as the leader of the church, felt like giving up. Or at least stepping back from what he should have been doing. And in this letter, Paul is telling Timothy to keep going with the work of gospel ministry. But he starts with who? And we're going to look at that. Who? Who is your judge? That's what Paul says. Challenges Timothy with at the beginning of the passage. Have a look again at how Paul starts this charge, this command to Timothy. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now that is quite a big build-up, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever given a command to anyone where you've built it up in that kind of way. I've never done anything quite like that. You never begin sort of talking to your children, telling them to go and get dressed by saying, right, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Who would it? You just don't start like that, do you? But that is how Paul starts here. He wants to remind Timothy who he is in the presence of, who his judge is. And it is, obviously, Jesus. He says, in the presence of God. That's incredible enough. But then he goes on. And of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing. Now, when it talks about his appearing, that's the day Jesus will come back to judge all people. So Paul is saying, Timothy, remember, you're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of your judge. And remember who your judge is. Timothy, it's not the congregation. It isn't the emperor. It isn't those who are coming to attack you. It isn't those who are gossiping or causing problems in the congregation. It's not the false teachers. They aren't your judge. Timothy, Jesus is your judge. It is before him you will stand. And we need to remember this too. Because who our judge is makes a massive difference to us day by day. Each one of us. See, if I were to ask you, who's your judge? You will probably say, well, yes, it's Jesus. Jesus is my judge. He's the one who will judge me at the when he returns. But actually, day by day, who's your judge? Who are the people whose opinion matters to you the most? The people who give you the thumbs up or thumbs down for your life? It's a bit like if you've ever seen Gladiator, or you know about the gladiators in the arena, and they're fighting, and one of them's won. And then they look to the emperor to see, is he going to give the thumbs up or thumbs down for whether the person should be killed or not? Well, okay, it's stretching the analogy, but we each one of us, will probably have people that we look to for the thumbs up or thumbs down for our lives. I wonder who that is for you. family members, your boss, your parents, maybe even parents, even if they're no longer alive. You kind of still look to them, in a sense, for a thumbs up, thumbs down, or you wish you had that thumbs up or thumbs down. We need to remember our judge, who is present among us right now, is Jesus. He is the one whose opinion matters the most. See, on Judgment Day, we won't stand before our parents, our employers, our friends, our church family. We won't stand before one another as one another's judge. Our judge will be Jesus. And Timothy needs to remember it is before Jesus he will stand, and so do we. It's his opinion that matters most. We need to live our lives before an audience of one, of Jesus. So, we ask, who is your judge? Jesus. Second, we ask what? What does he command? If he's our judge, if it's his opinion that matters the most, what does he tell us to do? And the answer for Timothy, the answer for us as a church is, well, it's preach the word, isn't it? That's what he goes on to. Verse 2, preach the word. And the word for preach is one of proclamation. It's one of heralding. It's announcing. And Timothy is not at liberty to make up what he's going to announce, to proclaim. He is to take it from God through Paul, that he is to proclaim that same message. Why? Why the word? Why can't Timothy just make up what he wants? Well, we've already seen, actually, if you've read through 2 Timothy, you'll have seen why. Because Paul says in chapter 3 that the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. That's why he's to preach the word. Preach the word because if you preach the Bible, you're telling people how they can be saved. We've got to remember what's on the line here. What's at stake is heaven and hell. That is what's at stake. But if we're proclaiming the gospel, if we're preaching the word, if we don't shy off from that, if we keep preaching the gospel, the word of God, then we are presenting to people the only way that we can be saved. Preach the word, he says. You've got to preach the word. And furthermore, it doesn't not just good for those who aren't Christians, it's good for Christians as well, because it's how we're built up. Again, the end of chapter 3, if you just cast your eyes back, it says, well, look at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to be built up in the faith, if you want to be strengthened in the faith, you want to know how to live for God, then you need the word. Timothy preached the word so that Christians, so that non-Christians can know how to be saved, so that Christians can know how to live for God. And of course, that's what we're to do. It is essential that we see that at the heart of preaching, at the heart of proclamation is that where the word is faithfully preached, God's voice is heard. So, what does he command? Preach the word. Third one, when? When is Timothy to do this? And the answer is in season and out of season. He says that verse 2, doesn't he? Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, whenever. Now, just for a moment, I wonder if you could do a little exercise for me. Not press-ups, don't worry. Just imagine for me a successful church. Could you imagine that for me? Imagine a successful church. What does it look like? What's it like to be there? What's a successful church look like? Have a think. Does it have lots of people there? Crowding in? Lots of conversation, lots of buzz? I wonder what it's like to be there. How many there are? Loads of children. They've got to bus the children in, maybe. Because there are so many. They've got to put on coaches to get them in. I don't know. You think what you would think. Maybe we're all thinking different things. But think what you think of as a successful church. Then look at Paul's command to Timothy again. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Now, I'm not a mind reader, so I don't know what you thought, but can I hasten to guess? Can I guess that what you probably thought of as a successful church was probably a church in season? In fact, probably most of what you imagined and what I would imagine when we think of a successful church is a church which is in season. The Word of God hits home in people's lives, so many people are converted to Christ. There's a real buzz about the place, and you see all sorts of things where you go, that is an in-season for the preaching of the Word of God. And those are good times. Those are great times. We should want those times. We should pray for those times, earnestly seeking them. But we can't control those times, because just as you can't control the seasons. And there are out-of-season times when there aren't those things going on. In fact, Paul describes how things are going to go for Timothy, and not just for Timothy, but verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Paul is saying to Timothy, things are going to get worse. There will be times where people will just leave because they don't like what you're preaching, Timothy. In fact, I love the image that he gives there of these people with itchy ears, and they want their ears scratched. You know that feeling where you've got an itch and you can't reach it and you want to scratch it, and then you get someone to scratch it for you, or you lean up against something and you scratch it, and you go, oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah? Paul's saying that's how people will be when it comes to preaching. They'll want their itch scratched. And Timothy, if they're not getting it from you, they'll go elsewhere. Now, just as a little aside, just see here what Paul is saying about what the Christian attitude to teaching and preaching should be. You see, a Christian doesn't go to a church because they like the preaching. They go to a church because the preaching is uncomfortable. That's what we should do. Because what does Timothy say this preaching is going to look like? He says it's going to be correcting, rebuking, encouraging. So there's encouragement in there, but there's also correcting and rebuking. So it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be, ah. Sometimes it's going to be, ah. Yeah? And actually that's what we should look for in preaching. Because it's not about having our itches scratched. It's about having the word proclaimed, whatever God has to say to us that day. See, there will be some Sundays where we come along thinking, I really want to hear something about this. And God says, nope, I've got something on this. I want to speak to you. And that's what a living relationship with God is. It's God being able to say to us, this is my agenda, and it's not your agenda. I want to say this to you. Now listen. And Paul says to Timothy, therefore, redefine success. Don't define success as being an in-season. Define success as being, well, faithful. Keep going at preaching the word, whether it's an in-season or an out-of-season. Keep preaching the word. Jared Wilson is a pastor of a church in America, and he wrote this book, The Pastor's Justification. And in it, he describes, he did a church plant. They planted this church, and he said it didn't grow. It just didn't grow. It was hard work, and he describes at times before the service, he would be praying in the vestibule before the service, and he says they prayed that the Lord would just bring one new person, anyone, just bring anyone. And it was a church where he says, well, it just didn't grow. He then, a while later, moved to another church, which he said was 11 times the size of the previous church, where they saw massive growth. He says it doubled in size in the space of 3 years. And this is what he says about the contrast between those two times, those two churches that he served. Well, he first talks about where he is now. So he says, let me read a little bit. In my current ministry context, church attendance has increased steadily. People are finding freedom in Christ. Our giving frequently outpaces our budgeted need each month. Andy Whelan would get excited about that. People are excited, sparkling about the eyes and bringing their lost friends. We're baptizing adults and enjoying the gurgles of babies in the service. And I am not doing a thing differently that I did in the lean days. I'm in a different place, sure, and I minister to different people. But my preaching, my counseling, my leadership, and everything else is the same old, same old. I am the same guy, stubbornly doing exactly the same thing. I am insanely repeating the same methods and expecting different results. And it appears to be working. This proves to me it has nothing to do with me, which is quite liberating, actually. There is an in-season and an out-of-season. What are we to do? Preach the word. In-season and out-of-season. Keep going at it. And if we're doing that, we're doing the main thing of gospel ministry. We keep going. Okay, last one. How? How is Timothy to do this? And I've tried to summarize it as faithfully. Sometimes people use the word someone's faithful in a slightly sort of, well, I couldn't think of anything else to say about them. They're faithful, you know, in a, well, they turned up kind of way. But that's not what I mean by this. I'm trying to summarize for us verse 5, really. Have a look at it with me, would you? It says, "But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul is saying, Timothy, be faithful. Keep going. He says, keep your head. In other words, another way of putting that would be sober-minded, which Timothy needs to know, doesn't he? He's in a horrible situation where there's persecution, where there's struggles in the church. And Paul is saying, Timothy, be sober-minded. Keep your head. It's all right. Keep going. Endure hardship. Be faithful. Just keep at it. Do the work of an evangelist. I don't think that means that he's necessarily not an evangelist. He's just saying, do that work. Proclaim the gospel. Speak it out to people who don't yet know Jesus. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. In other words, be faithful. Do it. Do what you should be doing. Preach the word. He's to keep his head and keep going. And to view it as a marathon, not as a sprint. With the finish line in mind, Paul says of himself, just cast your eyes down to verse 8. He says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul's saying, Timothy, long for the appearing of Jesus. Look forward to that day. Have that day in mind and race towards that day as a marathon. And when we get to that day, when you get to that day, and we stand before Jesus, what do we hope that he will say? Jesus told a parable in Matthew 25 in which a master goes on a journey, and when the master comes back, he calls together his servants again. And for those who've been good, that master says to those servants, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I'd encourage you, as I've done for myself, to think, that is what I want to hear. When I stand before Jesus, I want him to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not good and popular servant. Not good and successful servant. But good and faithful servant. Because a faithful servant has their eyes on their master, saying, "I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want at the end of the day for you to say, you've been faithful to me." What does this mean for us as a church? It means we keep preaching the word. Keep going, in season and out of season. Remembering in whose presence we are. That we're in the presence of our judge, and it's his opinion that matters most. And therefore, whether it's Holiday Club, or P4, or QRS, or Emmanuel at 4, or our 10:30 service, or Pathfinders, or Vision, or whatever we're involved in, the question is not, is it popular? Is it successful? The question is, are we going to go on being faithful? Let me pray for us. Our Father, we praise you for your word. And pray, please, that you would help us to be faithful to you, remembering it is in your presence that we now are, and that one day we will stand before you as our judge. And Father, we praise you that we can stand there with confidence through what Christ has done for us. But Father, we long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And therefore, Father, please would you help us to be faithful to you at Emmanuel, right now, in this time, in this place that we live. Father, we see around the world other places where there are in seasons. And Father, we long for now to be more of an in season here. Father, we long for the gospel to take root in people's hearts, for more and more people to be transformed, for more people to turn to Christ in faith. But Father, whether now is an in season or an out of season, help us to be faithful. Amen.